Good evening. I guess based on the number of people here, it's not too difficult to guess would Father Ryan's be giving up for penance this Lent. You're welcome. It's very humbling to be here and to speak to you at your parish mission, and I'd like to thank Father Ryan for asking me and hope that by the time I finish talking, he won't regret it. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Deacon Tony Pimentel. I'm a permanent deacon at St. Gabriel the Archangel Parish, just down the street on Target Hill. Prior to being assigned to St. Mary's in 2019, I was a parishioner of a very, very special Catholic community, this one. And I still like to think of myself as part of it. And while I'm so blessed and grateful to be at St. Gabriel's, coming here always feels like coming home. I've been married for over 30 years to my best friend, Karen, who's here somewhere in the dark, and who has been a great lover of Christ for longer than I. In fact, had it not been for her, not only would I not be a deacon, I'm pretty sure I might not even be a practicing Catholic, and maybe worse than that. I have two adult children, Emma, 23, and Jared, 25, both graduates of SFX school down the street. And our family has so many fond memories of this wonderful community. I've been a permanent adorer here at St. Francis since probably 2008 or so. And I can't say enough words about how fortunate we all are that this church is open as many hours as it is during the week to welcome those of us on this journey together to spend some time with Jesus. Oh, the great graces that come from spending time with him, just being with him, hoping and praying that just a small part of his vast goodness, his holiness, will rub off. Because as it says in sacred scripture, for mortals it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. So we keep at it. You know, we've probably all heard the quote from the renowned American essayist Ralph Waldo Emerson that says, "It's not the destination, it's the journey." And if I do nothing else tonight, hopefully, by the time I finish talking, we will all be reminded that both are important, the destination and the journey. Because when it comes to the Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus and being with him, it's a destination and a journey. And we've been on a journey this Lent, haven't we? We started in the desert, where Jesus faced temptation from Satan. We then journeyed to the mountaintop, where God appeared in a great cloud, saying of Jesus, "This is my chosen son, listen to him." Next, we went to the fig tree that hadn't produced fruit in 3 years. Hopefully none of us can relate. And this weekend, we'll travel to a distant country, following our own path, making our own decisions before we realize the errors of our ways and bask in the Father's great glory with the prodigal son. All of us journeying towards Easter, towards the great resurrection of our Lord, when God conquers death. And through Holy Week and Holy Thursday in particular, giving us an answer key to follow to prepare for eternal life. And that's the reason Jesus came to us in the first place, and the reason he is still here, to accompany us in this journey we are all on, this journey of life. Because whether we think of it this way or not, everyone who has ever lived still does, somewhere. Everyone who has ever lived still does, somewhere. That's what everlasting life is. It lasts forever. It doesn't end. What's an issue is how we spend it. Because if we have it all on earth and die and are not with God, we lose for all eternity, forever. But if we die with God, regardless of all we don't have here on earth, we win for all eternity. And that's what God wants for us. God wants to transform us and change us so that we can be with him forever. He wants to transform us and change us so that we can help other people know him. That way they can spend forever with him, too. Because life is hard. So hard that sometimes when we're in the dark moments, in the dark places of our lives, we might ask where Jesus is. Where is he? We've all done it. Where are you, Jesus? Because surely if he were here, this wouldn't have happened, or that wouldn't have happened. Things would be better. But he is here with us. Jesus is with us in the Eucharist. We don't have a God who said, follow me, and promised all our problems would go away. We have a God who says, follow me, and I will always be present no matter how hard life gets. A sign of great hope with us in the Eucharist. Now, the Eucharist may not fix everything we have going on haywire in our lives, but it gives us spiritual nourishment. It gives us spiritual strength, the strength we need to persevere through difficult times. It gives us hope. It gives us the grace we need to make it through the difficulties of life in this world, because this is not our home. The Oxford Dictionary defines home as the place where one lives permanently. And we know as Catholics, don't we, that there's this thing called everlasting life, so this cannot be our home. Because we will not be here permanently. We're just passing through. We're on a pilgrimage. We're on a journey. And we've all been on journeys before, haven't we? And when you go on a journey, you need to prepare. You need some stuff when you go on a trip. You're not going to make it very far without food. I know a little something about that. And in our spiritual life, we don't get too far without his presence, without the food that only he can give us. But don't take my word for it. It's been said everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but not everyone is entitled to their own truth. So where do we go when we want the truth? We go to the Bible, a good Catholic one. To the Old Testament, we recall the Exodus story in the book of Exodus chapter 16, where God's people, the Israelites, were just released from slavery in the land of Egypt. And they come out to the wilderness where they're on their way to the promised land and the place where God is leading them. And if you remember the story, it takes the Israelites a while to get there. A while as in 40 years a while. Journeying without ever fully knowing when they were going to arrive at their destination. 40 years. Now that's a journey. Just like us on a journey, and if we're honest, we probably grumble and complain just as much as those Israelites who said, would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to the full? For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They complained. We complain. We probably know what it's like to feel let down when life gets hard. And while I admit to nothing, we usually resort to complaining, wondering why God would allow these bad things to happen to us. Why us? Why me, Lord? Why? So what does God do for the Israelites in the wilderness? He gives them food. He gives them bread from heaven called manna. During that time, as his people journeyed, God sustained them by giving them miraculous bread from heaven. And if we look in sacred scripture at the description of this manna, it is described as being like wafers made with honey. Sweetness and sustenance for his people as they journeyed to the promised land. And that Exodus story that took place 3,300 years ago, 13 centuries before the birth of Christ, that story prefigures or gives us a sneak peek at what Jesus does for us. Miraculous bread from heaven. That's what the Eucharist is for us. It's bread for the journey. True bread from heaven that feeds us and helps us make our way through this life. You know, we're not that different from those Israelites. We too are on a journey from bondage. Maybe not from Pharaoh, but from slavery to sin. Towards the promised land of heaven and on our way, we too are sustained by the sweetest of foods to sustain us, the Blessed Sacrament, the real presence of Jesus. Body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, the new manna. And if you think about it, this bread we are given is so much better than wafers and honey, because the bread we're given is Christ himself. And Christ himself is also our goal. He is the promised land. St. Athanasius, the Bishop of Alexandria, a prominent figure in earlier Christianity, said it best when he said that God became man so that man might become God. Or in other words, and you've probably heard this from your mother at some point, you are what you eat. Which means technically, I'm 34% bacon cheeseburger with mayo. But seriously, and more to the point, the Eucharist is both bread for the journey and a foretaste of the end of that journey, the destination that God wants for all of us, heaven. And what is heaven going to be like? But simply, heaven is going to be full communion with God and full communion with everyone else who is in full communion with God. And there just is the fundamental reality that when we receive the body of Christ and everyone else in Mass receives the body of Christ, the more that we participate in the Eucharist, the more we become like him. This communion is a heavenly reality. And this should give us more than hope, because this is a promise. In fact, the Catholic Church teaches that when we go to Mass, it doesn't just point us towards heaven. It actually is a taste of heaven. Journey and destination in one. It's been said that at each Mass, heaven comes down and touches earth. Some of the saints would say that Mass is when earth and heaven kiss. And when we're participating in Mass, every saint, every angel, all of heaven and all of earth is actually present there. We don't see that, of course. That would be amazing. We don't see that because we have a veil in front of our eyes. And Jay, you know I have a Star Wars reference, but as Obi-Wan Kenobi said in the original Star Wars movie, your eyes can deceive you, don't trust them. We need to remember that at Mass there is what we see with our eyes and there is what is hidden but still there. Maybe an example will help. When the people watching Jesus crucified saw what was happening, the people here on earth saw a guy hanging on a cross, humiliated, brutalized, hurting. But there was another reality, the heavenly reality. What's happening when Jesus hangs on the cross is not just a guy hanging on a cross, bloody and beaten. It's the God of the universe offering himself as a Eucharistic sacrifice to repair our relationship with God, to restore the covenant, to give us the chance to reach that heavenly destination. But our human eyes don't see like that. For all of eternity, when we go to Mass, what we might see is some man up at the altar holding what looks like a piece of bread, giving a good homily or a bad homily, depending on the day. Not you, Father Ryan. Singing some songs that are on key or maybe off key, depending on the day. But what's actually happening in reality is God coming down to meet us. God's angels and his saints surrounding us, surrounding that altar, whether we see it or not. Every moment of the Mass is meant to draw us to heaven. Every Mass, every Eucharist, another step along the journey. Because this is not our home. But we're human, and our eyes are too. And on this journey, we all too quickly believe the old adage that seeing is believing, and miss what's happening right in front of us. So we don't always take in the enormity of what's going on, what we're a part of. In a beautiful way, this should not be a surprise to anyone that this could happen like this. Because if we return to the Bible again, the New Testament this time, we see the story of Emmaus, as told in the Gospel beginning in Luke chapter 24, verse 13. These verses showing us the meaning and pattern of the Mass. As the scene plays out later in the day on Easter Sunday, these disciples of Jesus were on a journey. They saw the highs and lows of Holy Week, and after the crucifixion, they just knew that all had been lost. And so they were getting out of Dodge, leaving Jerusalem. Two of them were going, some might say journeying, to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they they were kept from recognizing him. There's that veil again, separating the heavenly reality from what our earthly eyes can see. And the gospel tells us that these two were downcast. After the excitement of Holy Week, they saw what had happened to Jesus and how he was crucified, and how those with hope in the Messiah saw that hope die that day with him. But as Jesus walked along with them, he begins to open the scriptures from Moses through the prophets, and he interprets in all the scriptures all the things concerning himself. Sound familiar? That's the first half of the Mass. That's the liturgy of the Word, the readings, the gospel. The scriptures are opened up for us and point to Jesus in every Holy Mass. The second half of the story is when we get to Emmaus. They get to home and have that meal. Then Jesus takes bread, he blesses the bread, breaks it, and he gives it to them. And here we have the second half of Holy Mass, the liturgy of the Eucharist. Four key verbs that describe what Jesus does. Exactly the same four verbs found in the Last Supper, where Jesus instituted the Eucharist, where Jesus takes, blesses, breaks, and gives the bread as his body and the wine as his blood. And so Jesus gives us word and sacrament together, and that's what every Mass is. The words of institution spoken by the priest acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the bread and wine become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. God, truly present, Emmanuel, God with us. The Last Supper made present, Good Friday made present, the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday made present, right before us. That's the mystery of the Mass. And that's what happens each and every time. Whether our human eyes can see it or not, God entering the messiness of our lives to raise us up to where he is. The one we receive, we touch, we taste, is the most impressive, amazing thing on the planet. A height we can't reach on our own, no matter how hard we try. And yet our Lord comes to meet us. He makes himself so available to us. In the Eucharist. Now, you have an amazing talk coming next week from Father Harrison on how to be properly disposed to receive Jesus. And to paraphrase John the Baptist in speaking of Jesus, I'm not worthy to untie the strap with Father Harrison's sandals. So I'll leave the topic of being properly disposed through the sacrament of confession to him. But the Eucharist and the Holy Communion, especially, is the most profound encounter we can have with our God in this world. Remembering that this is Jesus. His very body and blood will be dwelling within us. Our God within us is amazing. We can pray to God anytime as we journey. But if there's ever a moment when we should try to give him our best attention, it's when we receive him. When he's physically dwelling within us. In Holy Communion, this is the time to turn to him with our needs, whatever's troubling us. This is the time to tell him we love him. This is the time to thank him. This is the time to pour out our hearts to God, and the time to rest with him and listen to him. Take that time to take a breath. Rest from the journey. Rest with Jesus. Rest in Jesus. When we receive the Eucharist, each of us participates in Jesus' sacrifice. Each of us gives ourselves back to God. When we go up to communion, some things to think about might be, where is the struggle in my life? What are the hardships? Where is life just really difficult? Where is life really exciting? What are the things that you're happy about? The things you're grateful for? And try to leave those on the altar to try and give ourselves back to him. The Eucharist is a meal where we have fellowship. The Eucharist is a sacrifice, a participation in Jesus' offering of his body on the cross. And the Eucharist is a thanksgiving. Jesus gives himself in thanks to the Father, and we who receive our Lord in communion give thanks to God for the gift of his Son. And we give thanks in imitation of Jesus as we receive him, as food for our journey, as food for our body, as food for our soul, to sustain us and strengthen us in this life as we journey towards our destination, to our permanent home and everlasting life. And God wants it to be with him in heaven. I mentioned earlier that our moms always told us, you are what you eat. I was only kidding about being 30-something percent bacon cheeseburger, because the percentage is probably closer to 50. But while our moms no doubt told us that you are what you eat, they also told us that who we hang around with, who we spend time with, the company we keep, is super important. Some of you might be reminded of the words, birds of a feather flock together. Which brings us to the great devotion and blessing that is Eucharistic adoration. More food for the journey. There's a beautiful story from St. John Vianney, the curate of Ars and the patron saint of parish priests. It's about a parishioner who came into the church every day and just sat there, staring at the tabernacle. And after watching this parishioner doing this day after day for some time, this humble parish priest approached him and asked, "What do you do when you come here every day?" And the parishioner answered him, saying, "I look at Jesus, and Jesus looks back at me." Such a beautiful, simple, childlike understanding of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the devotion to Eucharistic adoration, where we can spend time with our Lord, where our Lord is uniquely present in the consecrated host, as he is this evening. And I'm so grateful to this parish for having so many dedicated hours of adoration in the Sacred Hearts Chapel to make Jesus available to us in this special way. As part of our journey and destination, adoration, sitting quietly in the real presence of our Lord, making the effort, doing this daily, doing this weekly, doing this on a regular basis, brings great graces. If our day is busy, as many of them are, if we're out running an errand, we can just stop by for 5 minutes, say a quick prayer, say a quick hello. Maybe there's something going on in our lives and we need to talk to Jesus. Well, he's here. He's really here. We can speak to Jesus right here in the Eucharist to ask for his help, his guidance, his strength, his comfort. The same Jesus who walked the streets of Jerusalem and Galilee 2,000 years ago. That Jesus who comforted those who were sorrowful. That same Jesus who brought healing to those that were sick. That same Jesus who performed miracles in people's lives. That same Jesus is present to us sacramentally under the appearance of bread in the Eucharist. And he's here in all our churches, in all our tabernacles, in the monstrance. And he wants to work great things in our lives. He wants to help us, comfort us, change us, strengthen us, whatever we need. He's there waiting for us in the Eucharist to help us in our journey, to send us out. At the end of Mass, we're sent out with a purpose. He gives us all that he gives us in salvation history, in Holy Communion, in adoration, not just so that we can keep it for ourselves, but because he's deputizing us. He's sending us to a world that is hungry, so hungry that they don't even know what they're hungry for. Go back to our Emmaus story for a moment. When those travelers finally got to Emmaus from Jerusalem, it was late in the day. They were probably really tired. But when they ate, and Jesus gave them the Eucharist, and their eyes were opened to the truth, to life, to reconciliation, when their eyes were opened and the Eucharist transforms them, they don't say, "That was amazing, but it's late, let's call it a night." They don't say, "Well, that was nice. Well, what's next on our to-do list?" No, they say, "We've got to go back to Jerusalem and tell everyone." Because when the Eucharist transforms them, it's not enough for them to just sit where they are and keep going on with their own life, on their own trajectory, in their things, the things they were doing before. No. They said, "We need to get up and we need to do something. We need to take the life that is within us now, and we need to transform the world. Because let's just say it how it is. We can't be in the presence of God and not change. Because if that's the case, we're doing it wrong. I mean, this is the creator of the universe. The same power that could say to a dead guy, get up, and he'd get up. The whole mystery of the Eucharist is God's desire to be with us and restore us in relationship to be with him. But not just to be with us, but to perfect us, to elevate us, to heal us. He doesn't just leave us in our condition. He wants to transform us. He became one of us to lead us from death to spiritual life. Think of all he did by dying, by rising for us. Do we know where all this becomes ours? I'll tell you. Every time we walk down the aisle of Mass and hear the body of Christ, that's God saying, you may be on a journey, but you're on your way, and I'm with you. And salvation history is yours. That's food for the journey. That should be a great encouragement for all of us. And another step closer to our destination that we hope will be at the heavenly banquet with Almighty God and the communion of saints and angels. Because to paraphrase that familiar quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, not a Christian, by the way, it's the destination and it's the journey. And the Eucharist should be a great source of hope as we make our way to our one true home. Let us end in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, you are food for the journey, our source of comfort and joy. May we always hunger for you in the bread of life, and find in you the hope that sustains us until we feast with you in the heavenly banquet. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son.